Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm joined by my co-host today with an S, Mr. Mike Dell and Mr. Jeff Levine. Those of you that are on live can't see Jeff. He's in our office in Columbus, and the webcam wouldn't work. So we messed with it as long as we could and decided to go ahead and come up and go live. So Jeff is with this audio. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so we're going to have a great time. Jeff is our marketing manager at Blueberry, and we're going to be talking about our new product announcement today that some of you started to see because we've been pushing stuff online. And of course, Mike, welcome, Mike. How are you?
So far, so good. Trying to stay dry up here.
Yeah, so it is a little bit wet in Michigan and Ohio where the three of us are. But as always in the podcast, instead, we got some news for you. We got some best practices. Then we got some big Blueberry news about our new product that we've just launched. And then we're going to talk with Jeff in detail about what we're announcing today, which is called Private Internal Podcasting. And then we're going to talk about some support stuff. But let's just kind of kick the top of the show off. Joe Rogan, man, hit the lottery, Mike.
Yeah, he sure did. Reportedly, over $100 million deal with Spotify. So he's going to be exclusively on Spotify with his show. Don't know if you want to call it a podcast anymore, but hey, good for him. Cash that check.
And, you know, it's kind of funny because there's a debate already. People are, oh, he's still a podcaster. He's still a podcaster. You know, but if you don't have a public RSS feed and you can't subscribe to a show through a podcasting app, I guess you can call Spotify a podcasting app. But if you're on a singular place where you're locked down, in my personal opinion, you're no longer a podcast. You're just a show, especially when you have to provide a username and password to log in. But some folks in the space, and we probably won't say what some folks in the space have actually said, but Marco Orment over at Overcast, he had foul language to say about the move.
Yeah, plenty of choice words. I have it in our notes, but we're not going to actually put that on the site either.
Yeah, he does not like Spotify in the least. So, Jeff, I don't know if you've been following this or not, but you know, Joe Rogan's the, you know, by far probably the biggest podcaster in the podcasting space, and you know, he's been around since like around the time Corolla and those came on, maybe 2008, somewhere around there, 2007 yeah. Maybe, and they're saying $100 to $200 million to have exclusive license to be on Spotify. Would you have cashed that check?
I think everyone needs to get paid at some point in their career, so I don't blame Joe.
No, I don't blame him at all either. And I'm happy for him, and it's good.
Nothing wrong. And he was, you know, he was bringing in $30 million a year on his own. So
yeah. So again, it's a licensing deal. He gets to continue to run his advertising, as I understand. So that's good. So congratulations, Joe Rogan. And we'll see how this goes. And if it doesn't work out, Joe, we'll see you in 2 or 3 years back here on the interwebs, on the public side of podcasting.
Yeah.
A little controversy started last weekend. Podcast Addict got removed from the Google Play App Store. It looked like it was probably removed by a bot, or maybe someone had reported a single COVID-19 episode and it just triggered the removal of it. Then a couple of days ago, some VP at Google has basically said, hey, this was a mistake, we're sorry. But it took like almost five days to get Google's attention that they had done something. But here's what's interesting is, and they're back online now, but here's the interesting part. The Overcast, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast, none of those apps were removed for exactly the same content within the app. So someone had to have triggered the takedown by reporting something COVID-19 in the app. So they said it was some, you know, they're still working out their issues with COVID-19. But again, it just goes back to show that if you are a podcaster and you have listeners that are listening to your show and they're on a specific app and they don't know your home, they don't know what your website is. And when you all of a sudden are disappearing and you don't get new episodes and they don't know to come back to podcastinsider.com, well, you're not doing your job as a host to get your information out there. It's a little bit of a, and this is not the first time Podcast Addict's been taken down. You guys have any thoughts on what happened there?
I'm guessing that somebody that may be in competition with Podcast Addict or has a special grudge against them are doing all the complaining, and yeah, that, you know, I could see where that would happen.
That's an interesting hypothesis.
I've seen this happen in the podcasting space some, for, you know, quote unquote competing podcasts, where the one podcast will, you know, encourage their listeners to complain about the other one and give them bad reviews and all that stuff. So it may be something like that. I have no inside information, of course.
Yeah, that's interesting. Jeff?
Well, I guess it's a possibility that an algorithm took it down, but I'm guessing there was a human being making a decision.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, if it was an algorithm, then everything would have gotten taken down. All those apps would have disappeared, I would have thought. Okay. Who knows how it works? But
including Google's own podcast app.
Right. They didn't get taken down. And we'll see what happens here. But Google Podcast 2.0 is coming, and they're adding CarPlay is right? Or adding Google Podcast to Apple CarPlay. That's big.
Yeah, that is big. And, you know, I know when you interviewed the Google guys there on your show, they were talking that was coming. So, yeah, it's out now. I just updated to it. I haven't got to try out the CarPlay part yet. But also, rumor has it, they changed their user agent. So should be able to track them a little better in stats now.
Oh, so we need to get on that, Johnny, on the spot, and Angelo know to update that user agent. So Google Podcast 2.0 on iOS, and specifically, Google Podcast 2.0 on iOS adds Apple CarPlay. So that's, you know, so on Apple CarPlay so far, those of you who have never used Apple CarPlay before, the Apple Podcast app is front and center on Apple CarPlay. It's been there for years. So the addition of Google Podcast on Apple CarPlay is an interesting development here. They're being pretty aggressive.
Yeah,
so
a lot of podcasts that third-party apps are on CarPlay. I know Overcast, I use that. That's on there. And you know, there's a few other podcast apps. So Google just had to, you know, do the code and resubmit the app. But now it is available. I haven't tried the Apple CarPlay part. I'll do that when I go to lunch.
Hey, if you're a Blueberry podcaster and you live in the UK, the British Podcast Award nominations are out. We don't know if any of you that host with us have made a nomination. If you have, please let us know. But if you're in the UK or you just want to generally check out the British Podcast Award nominations, voting, I believe, happens sometime in July. So good luck to those shows that are on that. Mike, you caught me the other day talking about this desktop podcatcher called GetStream.io. Did you figure out how to make it work?
Yeah. The app is actually called Wins, and it's a little sub-project of GetStream.io. So it's hard to find from their website. I have a direct link to Wins. But basically, it's an old-school, open-source desktop podcatcher. You know, back in the day, we had podcatchers on PCs and Macs and Linux boxes and whatnot. And this is an open-source thing like that, kind of like the old iTunes desktop. You know, when they added podcasts, this is kind of the same thing. I played with it a little bit. It does take a little while to update, I've noticed. So it may not be as fast as you're used to on a, you know, mobile app, but it's kind of cool. If you're stuck in front of your computer all the time, might be another way to get podcasts.
I don't know. You know, with phones being so integral to, my phone is at my desk. So I'm going to listen to podcasts at my desk. I don't know if I'm going to use, but I guess if you're on a Chromebook or something like that, maybe this is a good option for being able to get access to podcasts. If you have an underpowered Chromebook that, you know, you can't, or you don't have a mobile phone specifically that is smart, because there are some people that don't have a mobile phone today. So I guess this is another way to get access to a podcast. Just another one of myriad of ways to do that. Jeff, do you, I know that you're one of the team members in the company that haven't particularly done a podcast on your own. What are you using now for your consumption of shows? Do you have a specific app? Or are you just playing around? Or
I use Apple Podcasts always on my phone. I have listened to a few podcasts on my desktop, but probably I can count the number of times I've listened to a podcast on my desktop on both hands, and all the rest of my consumption has always been on my iPhone.
Right. Moving on here, the Webby Awards have been announced, and let's see if I can actually bring up the screen. So it appears we have a number of podcasts that were nominated. They've announced the winners, huh?
Yeah, they announced the winners and the nominees in each category of podcast section of the Webby Awards.
So Arts and Culture was a show called Recording Artists and Radical Women, Switched On Pop, and there were some nominees and honorees. Oh, there's a whole list of shows here. The Sporkful, American Masters, Branded Best Podcast, Recode or Decode. See, a lot of these are just these big commercial networks. You don't see almost in any of these nominations any independent podcast creators. So Zigzag, The Catch and Kill, these are all Pineapple Studios, Stable Genius Productions. Again, hardly, of course, the Webby Awards, you have to pay, what is it, $250 or $350 to enter for the Webby Awards?
Yeah, something like that. I know it's not, it's not just a nominal fee. It's
it's definitely a little bit, I'm not going to say pay to play, but you definitely have to pay to enter. So it's all from, all these winners are from BBC. You know, there's definitely no Luminary, PRX. HBO. Yeah. So again, I guess the people that could have, Luminary has another one in there. Of course, you can't listen to it unless you pay Luminary. So they must have paid to, and to have all these shows be entered. Vox again. So I don't know. I guess maybe we'll just leave it at that. And of course, yeah, the Webbies are a big deal, but again, it's truly, I was asked to enter a Webby for my tech website years ago, and I got there and I couldn't afford the entrance fee. So, and how many different nominees they have in each category? Quite a few.
Oh yeah.
It looks like they showed all the, oh my goodness, this is funny. So yeah. So. That we're in the wrong business, Mike.
Yeah, we need to start an awards. Oh, wait a minute. You already did that.
That's right. All right. So let's switch into best practices. So we've talked about second shows a little bit already, but
yeah,
jumping into second shows?
Yeah, it's coming up a lot more. And, specifically, you got to know, when is it a good time to start a second show? A lot of people get into podcasting, get their second episode out, and then say, oh, I want to start a second show. Oh, I want to start a third show. And that may not be the right time. I like to tell people, get good at doing your first show. Get the workflow down, get used to how that all works, and then realize how much work that is before you jump in to commit to another show. Because so many of those second shows either cause the first show to get, either worse or pod fade or something like that. So be real careful about that. Also, what's the best way to set up a second show RSS feed? My opinion is, do it exactly the same as you did the other one and completely separate. That's usually the best bet. I know with your little network there, Todd, you've got all those different shows on separate websites.
Yeah, they're all their own .coms.
Right, and that's the best way because, each one of those is a separate entity. Now, if you have like a sub-show of your main show, like if you have a weekly show and then you want to do daily updates, that makes sense to have those both on the same site, and we have ways of doing that. But just realize that this is the same amount of work to keep up a second show as it was to get your first one going, and the tech is the same, and everything else is the same. It's not like just a little add-on. It's a whole nother podcast.
And two, and I think we talked about it in a few shows ago, but if you got all this extra time because you're not commuting right now, when your commute does restart and life gets going back here again in the rest of the world, are you going to have time for that second show or is it going to go beside the wayside? All right, so let's move on to the most important thing of the day. This is what we were really excited about and been working hard towards. But first of all, PowerPress 8.3 beta is available. So this is a monumental change to PowerPress. Complete redo of the UI. Mike, I know they put it up last night. Have you had a chance to load it and look at it and play with it yet?
Oh, yeah. I have it running on a couple of sites and been going through it just to, you know, see if we need a little tweak here and there. But, once it's nailed down that's what it's going to look like, I'll have the instructional videos out for that. And, it's quite a change. We'll have a link to it on the site. If you're brave and want to play with it, you can download it and try it.
The main thing here is no functionality in 8.3 has changed. It's purely menu stuff.
Yeah, it's all look and feel, and you know everything is still there. It's just going to be in a different spot and look different.
And this is, and I think what you're going to see on what we've done with 8.3 and going forward, and as you start to see stuff roll into our desktop, you're going to see synergies. You're going to see where these come together, and it's like you're going to say, oh, PowerPress settings kind of looks like our settings on Blueberry Podcaster Dashboard. Right. So we really want to hear your feedback on this, because this is really going to, you know, we're right now in final stages of the new dashboard design on blueberry.com. And in matter of fact, we're almost the point where within the next week or two, they're going to start coding and doing basically implementing the new designs that our UIUX designer, Chrissy out in Utah, has been working on. So one thing that you give us feedback now. And if you're a beta, you have an opportunity here to really provide input to us on what we got right and what we got wrong. And that's what we really want to hear now is your input. So
yeah, that was the same thing we did with 8.2's new episode box. It took a couple iterations to get it the way people wanted it. And I think we got it nailed. So here's your chance.
Yeah, here's your chance. But so this morning, we announced private internal podcasting. Jeff, you've been working literally days and days and days getting ready for this day when we're introducing this to the marketplace. Matter of fact, one of our sales folks signed a customer before we even announced it, and they're launching next week. But why don't you tell a little bit about private internal podcasting and just what is it? And for those out there that are listening.
All right. Yes, this is a big day for us. And the entire team has been working on this product concept since January, really. And so it's a big day for us. And we're really happy to get out there with a new product in a category that's relatively new, too. Because the primary audience for private internal podcasting is companies, corporations, organizations, could be schools, could be government, could be nonprofits, as well as private corporations are the main audience for private internal podcasting, and security are the primary features that we've been focusing on. And so there's always been a need for private internal podcasting, but the medium hasn't really been thought of for the purpose of internal or secure communications. The medium has mostly been used up till now for entertainment purposes. So it really opens up an entire new category of use cases. But you asked me, first and foremost, what is private internal podcasting? And it's a private feed that delivers secure audio and secure video on demand, a private feed as opposed to a public RSS feed. There are multiple layers of security built into our product, and there are three different packages that have increasing levels of security as you climb up the tiers.
So one thing that I want to make sure that we also mention is that this is tiered in a way that even those of you that are podcasters and don't have companies, if you have a premium offering, in other words, if you are currently already collecting money from Patreon or from any other source. You've got your own PayPal gig going on, and you're basically providing unique content. We've got the ability now for you to have a truly, and I want to restate this, truly secure platform in order to deliver premium content. Now, that's an option, and we're not collecting money, but we have the platform for you to deliver that content and authenticate that that material. And it even gets to the point where we can work with you, and depending how secure you really want that content to be. Many of the folks that are working today with things like membership plugins and a variety of that, oftentimes the feed is just hid. It's hid somewhere, and people are given a feed. Or the media is, the feed may be authenticated, but the media is not hidden. It's basically, once you have the URL to the feed, you can deduce where the media is being stored. And really what happens there is that media can still be stolen if it isn't. And a lot of these different services imply security. Wanted to jump in here.
Yeah, you know, that's the other thing with securing the media. That makes it so, you know, someone can't take that MP3 link and share it around. And I think even in a higher level of security, we don't even allow it to be downloaded, just played.
Right. And there's this the saying called stored media encrypted at rest. You know, we've got lots of layers here to this. And the stored media encrypted at rest is not available at the basic level. It's definitely up on the high-end level. But Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, we really have got a package here that could be from an individual podcaster that is doing a premium show that wants to secure his content, all the way up to a corporation that may be dealing with the super sensitive content that the only way they want them consumed is on demand. It's that media is not even stored on the device. Am I correct?
Yeah, there are enterprises that want to deliver private, confidential content, and they want to deliver it securely to a small list of people within the organization. It might be to executives only, for example. And if they take security super, super seriously, they may choose to only deliver it via mobile app and mobile devices as the only means of consuming it. And we can offer that as an option, for example, to enterprises. But at the same time, our simple package is not only very affordable, but still has some user authentication levels of security above and beyond it being, of course, a private feed. And so we do have multiple layers of security. I'm not even sure I've counted them, but I don't think I could count them all on two hands. I'd have to use one or both feet to count all these layers of security.
So one thing that we're coming out with, and it's actually there, the apps are in the approval process right now at iOS and Android. There will be a Blueberry private podcasting mobile app. And there's also going to be a Blueberry private podcasting web app. So in other words, you'll be able to authenticate through the web to be able to listen to content on the web as well as an iOS and Android app. And that's available for folks that are even on the most basic simple plan, where we have private podcast feed authentication and we have signed media URL authentication. Now, I talked earlier about media being encrypted at rest. Now, that's deeper, but we've got this ability here to explicitly say what the security is. And this is where we're different. We're going to explicitly tell you what we do and do not do instead of imply security. And I think that's a big deal. So for other organizations where, you know, that are, you go into a higher plan, you can get SSO, single sign-on support, auth 2, SAML. We've got some other authentication methods coming. There's user grant group management. So basically, like Jeff said, you can be in the executive group, you can be in the sales group, you can be in the marketing group, or a mixed match of each of those. So we've really took a lot of time. I know that, Jeff, you and I and the marketing team have really kind of, for a better word, we've run this thing through the ringer about 25 times to make sure the stack was right and the value was right as well for the potential customers.
We really have. And now that the service is live and we're starting to sign on customers, we'll get a lot of feedback from our first 5 or 10 customers. And I'm sure we'll be able to build in improvements before we even start to scale in a big way.
One thing that is also going to be offered to like enterprise clients, those folks that have real specific needs, is we're going to be able to give them a custom application. They're going to get a branded web app, and they're going to get a branded mobile app. And again, that's kind of an enterprise level offering. But again, no Blueberry branding on it whatsoever. It'd just be completely there. And we would hand that code off to those companies. They would just put them up privately, making them available for the customers, install them on company devices and so forth. But, you know, just looking through the feature list here, you know, I'm just kind of reading through, and it's just, again, this is the high level stuff. You know, each plan includes a show, includes X number of seats. In other words, user seats or listener seats, includes a significant amount of storage, unlimited audio bandwidth, very aggressive pricing on video bandwidth at a penny a gig. We've got private podcast feed authentication. We've got signed media URL authentication. We've got a Blueberry private podcasting web app, Blueberry private podcasting mobile app. We've got the ability to do this also via mobile app access. In other words, if someone, some of the levels will allow, if you're using Apple Podcasts, to be able to authenticate. Again, depends on the security level of your needs. Some of those features will be turned on or turned off depending on what you choose. Again, SSO supported with Auth2 and SAML, user group management, stored media encrypted at rest. We've got additional features where the media may only be available on the app. It may not be available on the web. Available streamable only. It's never stored on the device. Again, these different layers. And again, all of this is explicit. This is what you get. It's not implied security. And I think that's the big delta here. So again, for a general podcaster that's looking at, you know, if you're already, you know, if you're looking for a solution, we get these emails all the time that says, hey, Todd, I want to do a, you know, I want to do a private podcast for my audience. I'm going to give them some special deal. Well, you collect the money, we provide the service. And it basically, if you're on a pro plan already, it's just a short step up to get on. Because our pricing that I'm showing on the screen, which simple start is at $150 a month and standard at $250, the simple at $150 includes pro hosting. So you basically, if you're on pro already, it's just a $50 step up to be on simple. So I think we've got this. And again, if you're not a pro customer already, that's the price for simple is $150. And then again, additional user seats and so forth. But I think this is a great start for anyone that's looking to create some premium content to put out there, make it private, and make sure that I think the real key is, we keep saying this, but security, 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 security. That's what we worked at the beginning. Any other thoughts on this, Jeff, before we...
Well, you made reference earlier to some services out there on the market that are implying security. But when you start trying to read the documentation and the small print and get to the definitions of some of these security features, there's not a lot there. And we have a pretty robust basket of security features here. Some of them are automatic. Some of them are options. But a real robust set of features. And what I've learned certainly about security since we've started down the road of private podcasting is that it's all about layering, that there's not one magic security feature that's going to solve all of our security problems. It's about layering one over the next and getting to a point where you really feel secure. And So we've been experimenting with different use cases, and the use cases are countless, really. But and the most obvious use cases are corporate. You might be an enterprise communicator. You might control content on a company's intranet, and so it's your responsibility as a member of the corporate communications department to get various messages out to your internal audiences, sometimes your entire employee base. And so that can be done in various ways. You can put out written content on your intranet. You can push out emails with written content, but communicators know that the written word isn't all that read anymore. Yet, and we have all these great AV tools at our disposal. And so a lot of those communicators have used audio files and video files before, but they haven't been podcasts. And so they've had to go to their AV department or to their creative services department to get help recording audio or audio and video in order to create this content. And then they've got to schedule it a long time in advance, and it's a big deal. And so they haven't really had the tools to do any audio or video recordings on their own. They've been dependent on another department that may be backed up. And also, it's really expensive once you start soliciting professional help from this other department. And so I think that a lot of internal communicators are going to really see the possibilities of communication that's more engaging than the written word. And so you go from there to other use cases like nonprofits, for example. Say you're a member of the American Red Cross local chapter, and you're on the board of the local chapter of the American Red Cross, and you have monthly meetings. And someone every month has been sitting in that meeting taking notes so that they can be distributed after the meeting to anyone who wasn't able, to any board member that wasn't able to attend. Well, why not record the meetings and make them available to all the board members via an internal podcast?
Or even the volunteers, if you have something for the volunteers as well that's internal.
The use cases are just endless.
One thing that I do like about what we've developed here too is we also know that people get fired, they've left, maybe they're no longer paying for the content. So we have the ability to revoke the access tokens within 60 minutes on depending on what type of customer level you are. If you're on SSO, the token get removed, and all of a sudden their device no longer can get access to the content. It's just like being shown the door. You know, you've lost access to the company materials, and including what's on the app. Media URLs are signed with a timestamp, and they expire as well. So that person has to re-authenticate. They have to say, yes, this is, you know, here's my, and basically when they log in to the app, that allows that timestamp to be reset. But we even expire content within the app itself so that if they haven't logged in, at the chance of that media being taken off that app, if it isn't encrypted at rest, it continues to, again, make it so that we lower the ability for people to use the content in ways in which the content creator has decided it shouldn't be. And again, we can go all the way up to the top where it's just streamed. It's not even stored on the device. You quick play and it's served from a server. You really go up to that ultimate level as well. So I think what we've done here is try to cover all use cases. And I'm sure we're going to find some more, like Jeff said, but again, it comes with our standard stats. And in version 2, we've got some cool things planned for additional reporting metrics as well. But, you know, we've got our app development team already plan on what's going to happen to the next version of the app. And that goes into work on June 1st. But now we're just going to, I guess, take some feedback. And we can, if you want to beta test this, probably starting, not beta test, if you want a demo case, probably late next week, we'll have the apps up online. And if you want to see how this works with a company that Blueberry started called Low Hanging Fruit, we'll give you the access tokens to be able to get in the app and listen to the Low Hanging Fruit fictitious company we've formatted and see how this thing really works.
We had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
To make test episodes and make up logos and stuff. That was fun.
So we basically are using our own tools and the different security levels that to basically make sure that, this is going to be a great experience for everyone. So I guess that, do we have anything more to say on private internal podcasting?
So we have a website, a product page where you can go and learn about the product. And so we'll make that available in the show notes. And of course, you can also contact us and schedule a demo.
Absolutely. And if you go over to podcastinsider.com, there is a blog post up now along with a link to the product page. And we'll be having some updates to the homepage in a few days here. But real exciting about this new product. This was a full team. You know, for those of you that love what the Blueberry does, every member of the Blueberry team was involved in this development of this product. And we've really spent a lot of time on it and looked at the competitive offerings that are out in the space. But I think, and ultimately, it's going to be cohesively tied into everything we do. So think about that down the road. It's very, very exciting.
It's built on pretty much everything we've already had.
It's true. It's true.
We added the security part it's Blueberry Podcasting.
And when you see the private web app, that's kind of interesting too, what they've done there. So, again, a way for people to securely listening on a web browser if they so need be. In some use cases, that may be what people want to have available. But again, depends on the security level you set. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can send me an email, todd@blueberry.com, if you want to get connected with the sales team or if you have questions, and then I'll direct wherever it needs to go. But let's talk just a little bit about support, Mike, before we get out of here today.
All right. And one quick thing, if you want to be interviewed, now's the time. So get a hold of us. We could use Blueberry users to interview. Tell us about your podcast.
I've got one for next week. I think it's on show day, though. So maybe it won't make the next show. But anyway, what's going on in support?
Just a couple of little things that have stuck in our craw here lately. PowerPress Sites Deluxe, which will be rebranded to just PowerPress or WordPress sites, but at Blueberry, there's a deluxe offering where you pay a little extra to have your domain mapped to it and some more features and whatnot. And if you have that and then you need to change your storage, we're going to work on this UI design. But right now, when you upgrade or downgrade your storage level, you also have to make sure you check the little box that says, I also want a website for my podcast. Otherwise, it'll revert you back to basic.
Ooh.
And yeah, that causes problems, but we're going to fix that. But for the time being, either call us or make sure you check that little box that says, I also want a website.
Or I should say, I have a website. Don't downgrade me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we're working on a solution for that one. caching, just a little bit about caching. It's kind of the bane of my existence here lately. But when somebody makes a change to a website, there's a thing on a lot of WordPress sites called caching. And what that does is it makes a copy of that page because, WordPress generates the pages as they're loaded. But what it does is it makes a static copy of that page.
If they have caching enabled.
If they have caching enabled, it makes a static copy of that web page. It also does that with RSS feeds, unfortunately, in some cases. So the thing happens is, you say you publish your episode and then a little while later, I need to change this. And you make a change to that episode. Your cache may not automatically clear. Some sites it does when you update or publish a page, but some don't. And there's a whole bunch of ways to clear cache. So I don't have a, you know, step by step how to clear cache, but just for, look for something that says clear cache, purge cache, empty cache, delete cache. There's a whole bunch of different ones. And basically, if you don't see whatever change you made, you know, in a reasonable amount of time, make sure you've cleared your cache.
What I've often found, Mike, is for people that are having this challenge is if you are still logged into your WordPress site and you go to the page, hitting the refresh often will clear it if you're logged in. Sometimes it doesn't. Or sometimes maybe you have to add a character to the front of a URL to try to, I think you have to put a question mark or something like that in front. But there's kind of some tricky ways to clear a cache to force a page reload if you've got a cache that's a little stickier than most. So you'll kind of know this already if you've got a cache because you've posted your episode. You maybe went to the homepage of your website and it's not there and you've had to refresh the webpage two or three times. Maybe you've had to close the browser. So if you've got a sticky cache, learn how to clear that cache with your right. And usually this is with your WordPress hosting provider is the one that you usually have to figure out where to clear the cache. And sometimes it may be a plugin that you have installed that is actually doing the caching as well.
One of the tricky parts about it is when you're logged into your WordPress site, it may not be caching those pages. So you'll see the changes.
Right.
And then nobody else will.
Yeah, you log out or use an incognito window. And load it, and you're like, wow, where's that change I made or that edit I made to the template? So, yeah, that's one thing you just have to learn to kind of manage as a WordPress user.
All right, well, that's the end of the geeky part of the show.
Okay, so. Well, good. Hopefully you didn't go too down on the weeds and glaze people over. Well, exciting. It's an exciting week here at Blueberry. Two things, PowerPress 8.3 with the beta, and we really, really, if you're interested in, you know, you get first dibs at looking at this thing. Let us know. Mike, you've actually got a place people can go, right?
There's a link right there. There's a PowerPress beta page. It's a big, long URL, so I can't read it. But come to the show notes at
PodcastInsider.com. you're reverting. But Jeff, any closing thoughts on your part?
Only that I'm grateful that you both invited me to join you today. For Podcast Insider, appreciate the invite.
Yeah.
And not to mention the opportunity to talk about private internal podcasting.
Yeah. And you went into the office. So, you know, I think you're the only person that's seen the office besides Mackenzie in probably the last month or so. So I guess we haven't been broken into or you would have let us know. But
it's still there.
The webcam didn't work. So we'll have to figure that out. But thanks for going to the office and jumping in the studio to be on the call. But you can reach any of us. It's Jeff@blueberry.com, Todd@blueberry.com, Mike@blueberry.com, Mackenzie@blueberry. You guys get the feeling of how this works. So drop us a note if you want to be on the show with your show. Again, we've got openings immediately to be on the Podcast Insider here and share your story about your podcast. But I want to thank everyone that's tuned in. We'll see you next week here again. We are doing this live, trying to do it at 11 a.m. on Thursdays. And we're in the Blueberry Podcasting Group or the Blueberry page are the primary two places we want you to go to. Of course, it's live on my personal page as well, luckily today, because I couldn't get the Blueberry Podcasting Group stream to start. But you can watch us live at 11 a.m. on Thursday and jump in the chat room and ask us questions. And we had quite a few people in today. I want to thank you all, but we'll see you next time here on the Podcast Insider. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.